Support this podcast at patreon.com/rednews.
I've got chewing sticks for my brace. The dentist has given me them this morning, so I've got to keep chewing them a fair amount of time a day. So
Jesus Christ.
Very annoying.
Can safely say this is one of the starts that I don't put on. As an additional thing that anyone wants to listen to. Right, let's start. And if Ben joins us, we're in. Right, it's Red News Podcast 165 and a quiet few days in the history of Manchester United then. You know I always get angsty if things deviate from the football. And I always think, oh, I don't like it when we're a soap opera. But for once, we were thinking this might be the trial for the video, but sod that, we've got little time. Literally everything is crossed. Every permutation of hope that I have in my being that suddenly out of nowhere, we're actually here. And I mean, it's like so much has happened that 3 days ago, I was all set that this would be a rather dull, me and Nathan arguing about added time on at the World Cup. Then we get Ronaldo. You know, like, and it is, and it's probably, you know, why the Glazers have owned us is that in one day, the whole world is talking about Manchester United and not the World Cup. And I went to bed thinking, and I think Nathan, I'm joined by Nathan, Shane and Nick, thank you, an emergency pod as we call it, is I think I'm on Nathan's, or I was last night, that knowing what they are, knowing who they are, knowing the ambiguity of the statement, which was uncannily, which makes me a little bit scary, like Liverpool's, you know, you could read so many things into that statement. What do they mean? The bit about we're looking, you know, we could, the third part, which is like the kick in the bollocks of, oh, we could just be looking for more investment. But I woke up thinking, and speaking to a few people, this is another long monologue, apologies, but my view has been recently speaking to people, and you'll see in the mag, someone who sat down with Joel Glazer for about 2 hours not so long ago, and someone who's had lengthy conversations recently with Ed Woodward, that we were in this impasse. Unless someone pays $6 billion, you know, we're stuck. And that's the way I was, you know, these were people that you can trust that have spoken to the actual people involved. And then suddenly the only thing was, it's turning a little bit that Avram wants to keep us, but Joel's getting edgy. So it was like, really? This isn't what they do. And then I woke up thinking, encouraged by people I trust, that no, they are actually genuinely looking for a sell, but also they've put themselves in a corner now. They won't be able to get out of this. The sentiment, you cannot give hope like this and then refer back to normal, oh, we've got 25%, you know. And I think of their own making, the circumstances, they've probably been detailed what the ground needs, haven't got it, can't get it. You know, who wants to buy 10% of nothingness shares? And they've placed themselves by their own actions of what we know they've done for years into a corner they can't get out. Hallelujah. But I think the worst case scenario is still a best case scenario because they can't get out of this now. You know, the level of protest would be on a Super League level. So by this, I woke up thinking we're possibly out of nowhere, we're finally here. Now, Ella Ben, the point comes, we do know there's another conversation about who comes next. But like many things at United, that is totally out of our hands. As a fanzine, because we're a fanzine, we will fight for a better United and a better set of ownership. And it might be, oh, is Jim Ratcliffe the least worst, best owner, you know, conundrum? That's not for now. All that we can do is they've got to go. And we have. So I woke up, it was pissing down, and I felt like some fucking Shawshank Redemption in the rain going, yes. And I felt quite emotional because we've, a lot of us, a lot of people who don't go anymore, a lot of people who have fought and gave up. And I thought, I went to the House of Commons, me, JP, Andy, and were fed off lies by Richard Caborn, the then sports minister, who said, I'll get the Glazers to write to you. They didn't even fucking write to us. Lies, deceit. And the best way to bring it back before I go to Nathan is, and then I've got a mate going, and it'll mean you have to buy a fucking pint, Barney, because you can barely spend. And then someone went, I can actually visit the megastore and see what it's like. Getting ahead of ourselves, but deal with what we can. And I think through their actions and inactions, we're at a point. And why Joel has now seen it as this, who knows? Maybe he's heard sniffing, he wants to trump Liverpool. You know, how much the bidding's there. But please, please, please don't extinguish this hope. Hello, Nathan.
Hello. I think, obviously, a lot has happened since we've spoken. And, you know, like this last night, I, like you say, I'm always the pessimistic one, the more realistic one, whatever you want to call it. But I saw that statement and I like forwarded it on to everyone, and it, like you say, it's so vague and it doesn't tie them down to anything really. It's sort of, it's exploratory, it's this, and at the end of it, it just does say about like nothing, like this doesn't guarantee that anything's gonna happen. And as much as I'd love it to happen, all I thought was, this has come out literally less than 2 hours after the Ronaldo announcement, and this is a way of steadying the ship in terms of, like, if there's, I don't know how the Ronaldo announcement like affected the markets and stuff like that, but as soon as that was announced, the numbers went up 10% at least. And I was just, like you say, like, you, I don't want to get too hopeful because we know what they've done before, and like what in their past makes me actually think that they're finally ready to give up the cash cow. I don't think they will. I think this is just them, a way of them making more money. Like you say, that maybe they have thought, oh, we do actually finally have to do this investment and stuff, but they're not wanting to pay for it. This is basically them whoring themselves out to try and get someone else to pay for this investment.
Yeah. I can't say to me.
Yeah. As much as I'd love them to sell 100%, like obviously to someone that I want to be in charge, like, you know, if it's someone even more questionable, then that's another argument. But to me, unfortunately, the most likely thing that's going to happen is they're going to sell something to get some investment, and that's going to pay for some updates, but they're still going to be around.
I can't see that the way that they're offering shares, unless that was my fear last night, unless they change, you know, the power percentage of the shares, this A and B, that the retaining rights that they have, so they can have 60% control even if they only own 10% of the shares. But I cannot see, I think the Saudi thing backing off, you know, that those investors is I don't, they're literally so secretive. I will say in the Ronaldo thing, I know, like, and I'm as conspiratorial about everything, that Chris Blackhurst is writing a book, and if you Google him, he's well-informed financial journalist, and he's writing a book about all this, pre all this, you know, the whole thing. So there are other people I've spoken to who did, and I shouldn't have shunted them down, and fucking hell, I'm there to listen to people, but they were going, there's just a bit of chatter, and this is like a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. There's a bit of chatter about, and I was like, well, I don't know. And I don't, it's strange because I was where you were last night, and I hit the pillow thinking, I just don't trust them. I cannot, you know, knowing all that they do. But even that little bit of hope that they mention a sale, I know, you know, that's the football fan in all of us. And then there is giddiness, oh, it'll be sorted in a week. I cannot, this will drag on and on. You know, they will literally, Charlton Heston to a gun, wait until the last bid that possibly can get us the most amount of money. I don't know. Hello, Shane.
Yeah, I found it like a bit, like it is, obviously it's a hope that kills, and it's, yeah, I'm trying not to let myself get too giddy. And, you know, it's going to be a long, drawn-out process, isn't it? But, yeah, as Nathan said, my first instinct was, oh, I'm not qualified on sort of acquisitions and shares and markets and such like. But my first instinct is it's a bit of a fishing thing. We need to raise some more investment, but we're open to offers if that comes along. And it's like, well, you can have a, how much money you got? You can have a piece of the pie or you can buy the whole thing. But I fear that to buy the whole thing, they're going to put some price on it that no one's, because at the end of the day, it's a, you know, you kind of hope that you get a, you know, an astute businessman rather than some corrupt state. And yeah, so you, the Ratcliffe fellas, it's just, I don't know what he's like personally, but he's the one that you kind of think will definitely come in for it. And he seems like, you know, there's not too much baggage attached in terms of moral quandaries for us as fans, in terms of, you know, it's not a Saudi type thing. But yeah, I'm kind of not letting myself get too hopeful. But then, like, listening to you there, Barney, it's like, my lad said the same, and obviously he's got a, probably a bit more of a basic view. It's just like, let's just get rid of them. Let's worry about what comes next once we've got rid of them. Whereas I think, you know, like Ben, who's just joined, you know, last night I was already starting to get a bit of trepidation. Of course, I want them gone, but then I'm getting fearful. Is what comes next going to give me a moral dilemma that I fear? And it just made me reflect a little bit, because you're right, we should just want them gone. Let's just focus on that. But it just made me reflect, you know, and the World Cup is a thing at the moment as well. And obviously that doesn't matter, well, it doesn't matter to me as much as Man United. But everything these days seems to be providing a bit of a moral quandary. And I just want to go back to, like, just enjoying football without all this shit. You know what I mean? Just want to go to the game and have a few pints and not have to judge myself about whether I should be
giving
money to the Blazers or giving money to some fucking corrupt state. I just want... So my hope is that we get an owner that's just, you know, I guess anyone in Zach Rich has got a bit of a bastard thing about them, I just hope it doesn't pose as a moral quandary and we go through the whole 2005 thing again, and I'm just tired of it, if I'm honest with you.
But Shane, I mean, like, we live in a world where we've never liked any of our owners. That's not a... The only moral dilemmas is within ourselves. And what I love about United is, I think, even though I have mates who would love, you know, oh, the state that comes in and just saves everything, and not, they don't want to ask questions, but it's up to us as individuals to say, no, I will ask questions. And I think what will make United great is we can say, look, we welcome the Glazers being rid. I will say Ratcliffe, he's got some workers' issues that people have emailed me about. You know, I don't think there's any saints in this world unless we can chip in fucking 55p and chips. And they're considering us. But what I will, there's other levels to this, and this could take hours and hours, and we've got to, but it's like, well, where's the share scheme in all this? And I would like some more transparency, and this is not digging must out or fab, but it's like, well, we were told that was coming along, so what happens to that? Does it just get thrown in the bin? Well, then the people that they're throwing in the bin that they've taken along on this thing for a year should, I hope, come out and say, well, no, we were shafted, you know, yet more false promises and lied. So I totally agree with Nathan, you know, trust... Not 0% of trust with them, but I just think they've this now, them trying to wriggle out of it would be worse than the European Super League, because now everyone going, they've got, yeah. You know, like, it would galvanise.
So I do think, yeah, sorry, I didn't interrupt you there, but I do think, yeah, I do agree on that point, and I think I'm I don't want to dare to dream that it is the start of the end, but equally there has been quite a lot of noise, and I think things have chipped away, isn't there? It's like Super League thing, like they come up against a blocker there. I know it's not gone away, but they know it's going to be a lot of hassle and it's not going to be as easy as they thought it would be. They've had, like, I'm not saying this was probably a decision before the Ronaldo thing, but they've seen, like, they bought, like, they have in America a superstar, a name that they can market, but the problem is that's gone sour, and they probably think it's not quite as simple as they thought it would be. They've got the fans that are constantly on their backs, and that, you know, credit to, you know, particularly, you know, to the fanzines, particularly to the, you know, the 1878, everyone that's kind of like railed against them and escalated that again, you know, that must eat away at, you know, all these things. It's all these things adding up together, isn't it? It's not necessarily one thing. So I think there is, like, a good chance that they've had enough, and they're thinking that that it's peaked in terms of what they can milk out the club. They can probably sense that it's touch and go whether we get Champions League football next year. So it's all of these things add up. So I'm kind of quietly optimistic that they are genuinely the club is up for sale. It's just what fucking how much they're trying to scrape the barrel on the way out.
Well, and that's there's an identifying. The thing is, we will celebrate. You know, like I almost dreamed, and like perhaps I thought it's like all these years. I thought, how will it happen? Will I live to see it happen? Maybe that's it. It's just an announcement after Ronaldo during whatever game was being played last night or the end of it. That's how it happens. But they will walk out as we celebrate. They will walk out with 600 million or whatever it is each. You know, like that's the brutal reality of it. I will say, United played 10 days ago, and apologies for my whispering Bob Harris in a dungeon impression. Fuck knows what was going on there with the last podcast. So if anyone actually turned it up to try and listen to my nonsense. But Garnaccio's winner. But 10 days we played, and it's like, see you after the World Cup. We'll do a fun play your caps right. And then United just have this habit of, like, they cease to be a football club. It's just a monolith, and sometimes I can deal with that, and sometimes my head is mangled by the size of what we are, and that, I suppose, is what half the problem. Hello, Nick, and then I go to Ben. Ben's joined us. Hello, Nick. Sorry, mate, for leaving you.
I just thought it was quite funny, actually, because you said please don't kill the hope, and then the next words that came out your mouth was, hello, Nathan. So I just thought... and then obviously he went on and killed the hole. I think the balance for me kind of sits halfway between what Nathan was saying, and he does talk a lot of sense on it, as much as that pains me to admit. He is kind of right. You want to make sure obviously that they are actually genuine on the table. I feel like they just kind of brought in, obviously this whole thing with Liverpool I think has probably really contributed to it, but I think the balance sits somewhere between what Nathan's saying and pretty much what Connor said, is just get rid of them and let's worry about what comes next. We know that they need to go, they can't stay here, and look, the alternatives probably are going to be worse, whether it's what you get at Chelsea or you get another kind of setup like Liverpool or you get the Saudis in or whatever. None of them are particularly great, but we all know the Glazers need to go, so I think it's more a case of just worrying about getting rid of them, and then we'll cross the bridge when it gets there. But as Shane says, it is that moral dilemma now, and that's the way that football's going to become, I think. I don't think we're going to get much of a say in this going forward, that whoever's going to own us, we're not going to like, as you've always said, we never have done, that it's just a case of getting rid of them, and then we cross the bridge from there. So I see football going this way. I see more and more of this Middle East investment. We're going to get more stuff like this Qatar World Cup and stuff like that. This is what football is now. It's not going away. And I don't think there's a right lot that we can do to change it.
Yeah, but Nick, also, there is, you know, like, let's even it out that there's American investors who are equally as culpable and nasty and, you know, brutal in terms of financial rather than human rights. But there's no. But do you think they're selling?
Yeah, I think they're definitely shifting around for it. I mean, they're not getting their own way, are they? I think the Super League's the major one. It's not like that's ever going to... For them, they might try and get it back, but, you know, they can't just sort of take away the whole premise of English football and try and make it like, you know, American sports franchises. It's not going to work here. It's not what we want. We want promotion and relegation. You know, we want to know if you miss out on Europe, you miss out on Europe, and that's not what they want. The interests aren't aligned. I genuinely believe the club's up for sale, but the big question is, who's got the money to stump it out there? And if someone goes out there and buys Liverpool, which, let's be honest, there's not a million buyers that are out there at the moment that can afford it, maybe that wants it but can't afford it, someone that takes on Liverpool, that takes another potential buyer away, and therefore, obviously, there's not as much demand out there. So I definitely think they're exploring the options for it. There could be an element of, they're looking at investment, and I think that statement's vague, that they can get away with whatever they want to get away with. If they say it's investment, if they say it's a sale, but I think you'd be remiss to think that they're not interested in selling it. I think they definitely are. Whether that's their primary goal, I don't think they're overly bothered about it, but I definitely think they're shifting around for seeing what kind of offers they can get.
But Richard Arnold was quite blunt over his frothy pint, you know, not that I've got time for him, because he's been complicit in the Woodward shit show and doing the deals in the first place. But, you know, like, we desperately need, we've burnt money and we need investors. And I just cannot see how, say, the billion that's really needed, if we cut, and we're honest, a billion that's needed for the ground, Carrington, to do everything that makes United stand great, like Busby and even Louis Edwards wanted. You know, who gives a billion without wanting two back or three back or wanting, you know, and the timescale of that is that, as I say, I hope that it's in the corner, but we live in a world where I've just found out that Henry Winkler and Tom Hanks don't get on. So if two people like that don't get on, then never trust any bit of hope. And George Weah's son fucking scoring, now you know you're old. And do you remember when we used to, do you remember when we watched German football in lockdown and thought salvation? Hello, Ben.
Can I just put in first for the listeners, if you can hear a weird noise, Nick's got his cat on his lap.
I wondered what that was.
When he was talking was the purring.
That's literally come across. I wondered what was going on. I thought it was you purring, Nathan, at Nick's speech. I wondered if it was you.
I know it's the cat crawl onto his lap, so go on.
Right, Ben.
Sorry. I don't know what's putting me off the most, the purring, Nathan's tash, or the fact that Barney's upside down and I can only see his neck when he's talking.
So I look like a fat thumb. I did say we've got to make this, of the last time, sound better. And what's Nick doing? I don't know what he's doing with the cat. But, right, sorry, Ben.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of my thoughts have probably been covered. I think the fact that they've indicated a willingness to sell probably has to be seen as a positive, because we've never been in this position with them up until now. So I think they probably are genuine to some degree on that. But ultimately, it will come down to somebody paying a price they're willing to accept, won't it? So, I don't think we can get too excited about it yet, because I think there's a long, long way to go and a lot of things that need to happen and fall into place for that. I mean, you know, Nathan said earlier that, you know, he doesn't believe they're willing to give up the cash cow, but I think, you know, everything's got its price, hasn't it? And I think what it would take them to give up that cash cow is probably, you know, they were talking today, 7-8 billion. Pounds, that's enough to give up the cash cow, isn't it? But, you know, it's whether they feel they've made enough money on what they, you know, they initially sort of started out with. So, and I think, you know, people have obviously talked about the Super League, that's gone sour for them. And I think they're looking at the amount of money that they would need to invest in one way or another on the stadium, the training ground, etc. It's coming to a point where that can no longer be ignored, and therefore that's going to, you know, it's going to be a big hit on the profits they can take out the club in the next sort of decade. So I think that's the motivation. So I would say that, you know, they probably are serious, but as Nick says, they're dangling it out there, really, aren't they? And whether there's somebody in a position to give them what they're willing to accept. And obviously all of these people are going to be hard negotiators, aren't they? You know, if Ratcliffe gets into a negotiation with them, he's not going to want to pay a penny more than he has to, and they're not going to accept a penny less than they think they can get. So, you know, even if two parties go into a negotiation kind of with the right intent, let's say, you know, it could still take a long time to get a deal over the line. So I think that's where we are. And then, you know, going back to what Shane said, from my point of view, the big question is now, if they do sell, who's next? And is it actually any better than what we've got at present, or is it, you know, is it worse? So there's a lot of unknowns there, really, before we kind of get too excited either way.
You know that, the, you know, the fanzine's been beating about everything, the bullshit of modern football. I've mentioned this on Twitter last week, that there was a quote, and I'm not avoiding this, because, as I say, like, I felt hypocrisy. I've got into the World Cup, but I readily admit to that. But I am pointing out to anyone who will listen why I've got, even explaining to Albert why I've got problems with this, why I think it's wrong, why I think it's wrong it happened. But there was a line in the FT about the Live Golf that said, you know, that we keep endlessly looking to sport to solve these conundrums, whilst the governments that those very days are dealing in arms. And, you know, like, so I get that there is that argument that Newcastle fans use quite readily, but I will say but you don't have to then totally shut up Newcastle fans. You know, you can have these conversations. And I do think we should, like, we for years, even on this, have been saying we needed someone to come along, and 1958, and it might not, you know, the Glazers are adamant that the protests have nothing to do with it, and that might well be the case to them. But we've wanted for a long time someone to come along and rejuvenate and re-galvanise the fans. And there might not be a correlation between this, but I think fair fucks, because they've kept it in the news for a year after the Super League, when things could have quietened down, new managers, and I think they deserve fair play. They've made mistakes. We all fucking make mistakes. Anyone got any more to say? I just...
I think that like you mentioned Newcastle, I think that the fact that they are already, well, they're already above us in the league and they've not even started what they're going to do. But maybe real, like, this is the optimistic side of me, rarely happens. Maybe the Glazers have realised that, no, but they've now got another team to surpass,
but do you know the
to even get Champions League
but
now.
Do you know the point is there was
but there was
a truth that Lingard wasn't given to them that January because they did think that there's a competitor now. I mean, that's how sad, but that, maybe that's where then it further leads down, but that was the first point that they go, oh, Newcastle are a rival for Lingard.
Well, I think it's terrifying to think, like, what they'll do. You know, if they get Champions League in the summer, they could go all out, do whatever they want now. And it's like within the means of FFP, if that's still a thing, I don't know what's what in terms of that. But it's just like, but as the owners, that's why I think that they're just desperate for funding and money to be pumped in, because we're going to be even lower down the pecking order because there's another one in there with the big money. And maybe they've finally just realised, like, that's the thing, they're never going to be willing to give up the money that they put in their pockets.
I think,
we won't take those dividends for a year or two to do stuff up. But they're never going to do that. They're going to just want someone else to pay for it. That's what they've been harking about, there was, hasn't it? And if someone offers good enough money, then they'll just sell the lot.
This is a hypothetical. Sorry, go on, Ben.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I don't necessarily see it as us down the pecking order. I mean, I think I'm quite happy on the pitch of where we're going at the moment. I think we will come above Newcastle this season. But what I would say is there's genuinely really strong competition for those four places now every single season. So there's massive jeopardy every year. You know, even if you're doing quite well, and, you know, we could miss... I think we'll get it this year, but we could easily miss out on it. And it's going to be the same almost every season. There's going to be six or seven teams. If you stay at the moment, like City, perhaps guaranteed, and then everybody else is scrapping, you know, wherever you finish. So, that you know, when they took over the club, it wasn't even a question, was it? It was guaranteed every single season at that Champions League. And obviously, that's where the Super League thing has come from, trying to sort of set that up to protect themselves as a FSG, etc. So there's just too much risk probably involved now because, as you know, the competition is that fierce for three places once you take City out of the equation.
They took it for granted for so long with Fergie. You know, the complacency is, you know, you point Moyes and all his failings to not back him, to think that it will just carry on like I foolishly did. But I said there was a hypothetical scenario where I thought when Nathan mentioned how much the share price went up last night, that I bet a couple of the Glazers were going, cash out another 100 million tonight, you know, like we've just put it at that's hypothetical bollocks nonsense. Right, we've done half an hour. I just hope Shane. Yeah.
So I was going to say, I do think like there's giddiness at like getting rid of them. I'm just kind of like, that would do me as a first stage, but I think we've also got to be realistic. Like I think we've all touched on it, but there's no real instant saviour coming here that's going to like, within 5 years, do up Old Trafford, rebuild the team to compete with City, etc. Like, whoever comes in, it's still a long haul thing. And as Ben rightly said there, like, I'm not saying like Ferguson, you know, worked miracles, but when Ferguson come in, it just felt to me that the United just had to realise their potential and catch up with what Liverpool achieved, possibly, you know, Arsenal obviously were doing well around that time. But you kind of, ultimately, it was kind of like, I wouldn't call it much of a catch-up compared to now, where every other team in that top, lots of teams that are the top sort of six or seven in the league currently are moving forward. You know, like City are obviously just ploughing on and on. Newcastle on the up, Arsenal seem to be on the up, but teams are moving forward at quite a pace. So just to run to stand still is quite hard at the moment. So I think we just have to be realistic.
No, but also Shane,
it's not going to be like they need time as a new manager would.
We've had the, you know, like from the cover of Hope this season where we felt hopeless at Brentford, to just have, I know it's pretty shallow, but just to think that we could all be having the mother of all parties, as I said, you know, like, and then we deal with tomorrow, tomorrow, but like the potential that it feels for the, this is, you know, we've had false dawns and red bollocks nights and all the bullshit that they encountered, you know, they couldn't even bloody meet together, let alone get a bid together. But it's like, I don't know. So I will, I'm going to go on, we'll go Ronaldo at the end, but I'm going to say my piece about this added time. I know it's dropped from the serious matter of what we all hope, but we'll be back. We'll be doing a few of these. But right, so my argument is, A, I don't like it, but B, the added time, you know, the 10 minutes, the 13 minutes. I get if there's, if there's concussion, just for reference. Everyone knew what I was on about anyway, but it's like 14 minutes, get it if there's concussion. But my point against it is, I see it as a precursor for four quarters, because they'll say, oh, the ball's got to be in for 60 minutes. We'll fucking have cheerleaders and razzmatazz and adverts. So I'm always a cynical, sceptical, conspiratorial bastard at the best of times. And then the other thing is, people say, well, for park the bus for Villa and Newcastle when they come to Old Trafford. But if we're honest, especially with our form at Old Trafford, we want games to finish early most weeks in the last few years, is that there's about two or three teams where that happens and you're going, oh, we should have had five more minutes. And if you have 10 minutes of added time for most games, everyone will get bored. If we're fucking 4-0 down getting tonked by City, no one will go, God, I'm grateful for that extra 10 minutes. And even if we're beating someone 5 or 6-0, it will just lead to, I get that it will stop injury time and all that, but I do think it will stop halfway through this because someone will have a moan. And
I think the counter to that, Barney, is
if no one agreed with me, so everyone's against it. Go on, Ben.
Time wasting.
I just think it will create another element of time wasting. And the pure definition is, we've had all these games so far and there's been two goals in the extra 60, 70 minutes anyway. So it doesn't really change results. And it makes me feel uneasy on many, many levels. And considering we can never get a tram back to town for midweek games, I don't want to be stuck at Old Trafford at 1 o'clock in the morning. We're just staring into an abyss that we can't get back in town for a pint. So selfishly, no one agrees with me. I've got pelters on Twitter.
I've just not really thought about it, to be fair.
It's made me think about this a lot. It's the four quarters FIFA's wanted.
I'll say most of the games have been on whilst I've been in work, so any added minute of time that I can have the football on whilst I'm in work, I'll take it. So, you know, I've been lucky enough to have it on in the background whilst I've been in work, so the more football that's on, the better.
Trust me, when it's Wolves against Notts Forest and they've put up a board for 15 minutes, no one in the world back home is going to go, that's a great idea. Four quarters.
I am with you, Barney, on balance, that I don't want to be stuck. Fucking, like, no, like, I love going to United, don't be wrong, but I don't want to be stuck for any longer than we already are. And you know...
Brentford, they've put on another 12 minutes. Please.
It's bad enough it is trying to squeeze in a couple of pints with... And then, I'm with you, and I think, I get it that it's for time wasting, that needs to be clamped down, but just, like, book them, don't fucking, like, it's always the fans that get punished, is it? We have to fucking sit there watching it for longer. It's the players that need punishing. We're the fucking ones that get...
I have to mention, the Avanti trains are bad enough. Can you just hold that train that doesn't exist for another 20 minutes? Because someone's gone down injured. Right, I'm going to go for two hates of the week. Times are tough here. The missus has got British Rail bog roll again. I mean, it's literally like school paper. And then I went and showed Albert's the Christmas lights last week. And there were about five or six different points during the whole day. We had a lovely day that people were proper Instagram posing, like, you know, like really going for it. Dramatic emphasis of their poses. And I thought... Is that what people do now for, like, it's just a photo. It's just a photo. Right, any hates of the week?
The trams have been shit this week, even more than normal.
God, is that possible?
You know, that's just standard. But other than that, Nothing springs to mind that's happened in the last week or so that I've not enjoyed. So.
I always have hate locked up inside of me. And I hated myself for sitting down watching the World Cup. But then Albert's really got into it. And as I say, if you can just bore people, they run away from me now. Why do you hate the Glazers? They've heard this endlessly. Why don't you like it being a World Cup? Everyone wants to avoid me at the best of times, especially now. I will say, we're doing the thing for mind. Thanks for everyone who supported so far. There'll be a lot of tat, and I'm sure there'll be good stuff bought in the following days with this Friday sale malarkey. But we're giving £1 from every order. Look, I can't emphasise enough. I know I keep saying it, but there's a point to this that costs are going through the roof for the mag. We've got another mag out for Burnley. I would say we hope we get to the April thing. I'd still say it's 50-50. Can we carry on? I want to be here for the new era. It's not like a plea. It is literally, if you can, if you enjoy these, support the mag. One day we might not have to do all this. But the most important thing, December the 10th, I walked 10K with new shoes and they fucked me last week. So the 30K got to get 30K December the 10th. If you can give to Manchester Mind. And also this weekend, if you're thinking I've got a spare £4, that's all. You get a PDF and we're going to give £1 of that to Manchester Mind. So it all tots up. Right. Any hates of the week? Or before we get on to Nathan's favourite subject.
Yeah, my hate of the week. Sorry, Sean. I think we're probably going to get some repeats of hates of the week. But I've got a couple. In the sense that, like, the fucking fixture announcements for TV are just getting later and later and worse. And then when they make them, we've got this thing now, oh, like, the City games on this date subject to the League Cup. Like, just decide now that we're not going to play on the Thursday night in the League Cup. Just make that a rule.
Yeah.
But no, we have to wait for that. So we're not going to know for certain what the City game is until we've played the next round of the League Cup on the 21st, whenever it is. It's just getting worse and worse.
When did the League Cup on a Thursday become a thing anyway?
When did anything become a thing? Yeah. They fucking just screw us every year. They incrementally make it more difficult. That's one thing. Fuck, I must admit, it's my fault. It's on in the background here. Bazuna, my wife was watching it. But like, why the fuck is Nick Hancock is enough? There's two Hancock twats in there. Nick Hancock and Matt Hancock, both twats. I keep conflating the two of them. Imagine if there was a hybrid of Nick Hancock and Matt Hancock. But Matt Hancock is like in the jungle. Fucking he earns $84,000 a year and now he's getting paid $400,000 for fucking eating a scorpion or something. It's like, what the fuck is going on with the world? And people, like my daughter come home from school and said, like, he's like the hero now. Like, everyone's loving him. No. I'm like, what? I said, what the fuck is that with you?
I watched a clip on Gogglebox and it was him going, all I want is forgiveness. And I just thought, let it go. You're angry enough about so many things, but about that bloke, if I start on him and the debacle, at best, and breathe. Yeah. Right, I'm going to go quick. Right, so I'm going to go with Nathan first, because obviously this is thing that's been close to his heart. And when I was singing giddily, Viva Ronaldo, barely, still 15 months ago, Nathan was the note of caution. And it started to come from ahead with the Ralph bit, and that's evident. I've not watched the interview. I've read the transcript, but I refuse to. Morgan, I just can't stand the bloke. And I find that's the first point, that you've allowed his show to suck off himself about it to the level, you know, you didn't choose someone else, you chose him to do it with. That Ronaldo and Ralph had this bust up when he was told he was going to be sub for City, as we said, and not often we get him much good info at the time as it happens, but someone, when it's all kicking off at the team hotel, as I've said many times. So that's the first real thing, that it's not going down well with the young players. So this is festered. Ten Hag wanted rid of him. He wanted to go, but for whatever reasons, maybe money, he didn't go when he should have gone. Okay, we all know he was going in January. We've said this. Just the World Cup sucks up 6 weeks. He's got 3 weeks of him, but he couldn't even wait the 3 weeks. So this narcissist had to show himself to the world and the mirrors. And I love Ronaldo, probably the greatest player we've ever seen. We've had this before, but I don't think when we talk about him in pubs in 5 or 10 years' time on Euroways, we'll go, yeah, Ronaldo, but we'll go tosser or twat. And he sullied himself by doing this. I don't see him as people would have read, I don't see himself as a Glazer out figurehead. Whoever did advise him badly to do this, I think said mention about the Glazers. Now, he has had issues with the infrastructure, and him calling them out was no bad thing. We'd been after someone big. Please call them out. But to then shit on the team, the squad, the manager, you cannot do it. You don't do it. And Keane, of all people, you know, like, what are you doing? I know you're his mate, but, like, look at what... If that was anyone else. So, but there's a sadness because it didn't have to end like this. But I'm glad it did. And most importantly, I'm glad United, for once, had the balls to back the manager and also not pay him out of the fucking contract. So it's not like we've paid him £16 million to kick off to fucking Piers Morgan. Nathan.
Yeah, I think you've summed it up. I think it was, I feel like it was always doomed to fail in some ways, and I feel like I've always said that, and I've not watched the interview, and I think it's like you say, the fact that he picked Piers Morgan to do it sums it up. It's all based purely around him wanting to be on the pitch all the time, and he isn't good enough to do that for us anymore. And I think that he probably thought that he could come out of this thinking he's the victim, and that, you know, he's always going to have that weird cult. It's a cult, isn't it? He's got the cult. Messi's got that cult of people who have probably never seen him live, who are obsessed, and he's a god to them. And he's sort of been sucked into that. Like, obviously, he's been good. He's been one of the best ever, but it's sort of, like you say, it's sad that there's someone now who is, time is catching up with him, and he just can't accept that. And I think that we finally got a manager, and maybe people who are higher above him, like, you know, now that Woodward's gone, who are accepting that you can't build a future around someone who isn't doing it on the pitch anymore. And that, I think Ten Hag comes out of this incredibly, and obviously I'm biased, as it were, because I've always had this feeling that it's not going to happen, it's not going to work out, and it's always going to go sour. But the way that he has dealt with everything that's happened, even from the summer, I know that he had issues with his family over the summer and stuff, but Ten Hag had never managed Ronaldo at that point, and he still dealt with it with dignity. And the thing that pissed me off was when Ronaldo saying that about the respect and having a go at Ten Hag, and it's like, fuck off. Like, if you look back at what was said at the time, Ten Hag did everything he could to accommodate what was going on. And his main job is to look after the club and to look after the team and get them winning, not to look after a single player. And I think he did that perfectly. And sadly, Ronaldo can't accept that, and it all has to be about him. And that, this is what's happened.
But reading, you know, when a man is paying, I get no respect, as he's slagging him off to a minor, you know, a TV station no one's ever heard of with Piers Morgan. But respect? I do think, I said about the kickouts, me and Shane have also said, you know, this is due to Ten Hag. He wouldn't have wanted this, but the world are good over the long run, hopefully, that he's dealt with this head on, you know, dealt with it straight on. He hasn't tried to bottle it. He hasn't tried to pass it upstairs. I'm dealing with this, and you've got to follow what I say. But is that Ronnie's, I'm not comparing the TV interview with the yellow cards in Spain and Villa, but he's kicking out now. It'll be interesting. Maybe he'll have one final swan song geared up for the whole year to this in Qatar. But thereafter, You mean you're not even hearing suitors? There's no, and I ask myself, am I glad we did it? I suppose so. I do think City have played us a few times like a violin. You know, just say we're after a player and we go lumping in. Let us never make a mistake. Now, Nick, I've got to ask you, are you, because we have our sellers group, are you winding Nathan up? But you've been at him a little bit today about Ronnie. Are you winding him up?
No comment, because if I say that, then I can't continue to wind him up about such a...
Now, go on, what do you think then?
Get a nibble out of him. When he nibbles, it makes me very happy. No, I mean, look, the thing is with Ronaldo, and I mean, I watched the interview because, you know, I'm a football idiot and I get sucked in by all that. I can't help it. It was odd, really. And obviously, if he hadn't had a pop at the manager, I think a lot of people probably might have got a bit on board with it. But he just came across as a petulant child. And it was just like a bit of a... It was so cringe the way that they were so complimentary about each other. And it was like, I really like you and I like you. And he starts talking about he's handsome and has a boon. It looked odd. And it made Ten Hag look like he came out of it smelling the roses. And it made him just think, well, if this is what you've been dealing with all this time, then... You've done a brilliant job of dealing with him because he's an idiot. I mean, how much of it with his daughter being ill, I don't know, and I don't want to comment on that. But in terms of what, you know, amusing Piers Morgan, I mean, this interview is massive. I mean, I even saw the picture of him of Ronaldo and Piers Morgan in Times Square, you know, calling the Glazers out. I mean, that was circling in America. It's like, this is how big this interview's gone now. So I do think it has implied some pressure and it's put more focus on it in America on the Glazers, which... I don't think they've been particularly used to, certainly not from the Buccaneers standpoint as well. But he's been thinking about those for months. I mean, he said in August this year, was it like the 8th of August that he wanted to leave? And he said, you know, I'm going to spill all in a big interview and stuff. And it's just like, it feels like he's been brewing. And to get what he has been since the moment he said he wanted to leave in the summer, to get him out of the football club is 100% the right decision. There's no debate there. Regardless if it's for footballing reasons or not, you play better with him or not, doesn't matter, it's not about that. But he is the cancer in that football club and he has to go for that attitude. And how he can come across in the interview, and I scoffed, my missus watched it with me, she doesn't care for football, but she laughed as well. And it was just, he said, you know, I see myself as a role model for the younger players. And I started thinking, you've left two games of football. How's that you being a role model or anything? And since the moment he said he wanted to leave, United should have done everything. And maybe they did, I don't know. But they should have pushed harder to get him out, terminate the contract or whatever, try and come to some sort of arrangement. Just get him out, even if it's on a loan or something, get rid of him. Because if he doesn't want to be there, he's going to be a problem massively. And I didn't mind him last year, and I'll stand by that. I enjoyed all the goals he scored, the Atlanta comeback, the Spurs game. And now, there were so many great moments last season. And that's all we were ever going to get. So I'll stand by that. But the moment when he said he wanted out, you've got to get out of it. And he came across as a petulant child. And I don't think he's soured my opinion. He's the best footballer I've ever seen. He's certainly the best United player, I think, ever. In my opinion, anyway. I mean, I've saw best. But we had that debate in San Sebastian. So I don't think it's soured the relationship for me. And I think that, you know, you give it a couple of years, I think a lot of it will be water under the bridge because of some of the stuff that he did say. And if he's seen as a figurehead of contributing in some small way of getting the Glazers out, then fair play. And he needed, for all manner of reasons, I think it's a good decision that he's got.
I don't think that you'll get that. You know, remember when he returned from Madrid and they timed it, you know, like the Ronaldo, you know, you just won't get that. Like I don't think he'll get, you know, a little nod and the all the footnotes of, oh yeah, the times we had with him. Well, that doesn't get scrubbed off, but I don't think he gets the reverence if he comes back in the 5 years that people have said. It won't be, you know, the Viva Ronaldo. You just can't do these things, and it's different, you know, what Best did and what Lord. We're in different times, you know, they know what they're doing. They were badly, and he says, I know what I'm doing, you know, Best had addictions, Lord had, you know, this. I just don't see it. But I will say, I do think that you and Nathan could argue till for so much time, Charlton Heston could ride on a horse and see the Statue of Liberty in sand. We will never know. If Ronnie wasn't here, would we have done better? But the saddest part of it is Ollie did everything, you know, like to accommodate him. He was the ultimate final Woodward vanity signing of, you know, a shirt seller. And I did go, you know, but there was evident the rapid deterioration since Ammonia, you know, when they were actually trying it, like you lot would tee me up to score a goal on a beach or something. It was like, God.
I think that one of the, like, obviously, like I say, I didn't watch it, but from reading the quotes and like him going on about how the club hasn't changed in all the time he's gone, and it's like, do you not see the irony that you are the ultimate definition of us not moving on since you left? Us signing you back is the very culmination of us not moving on since you've left. We've brought you, like, you know what I mean? Like, him saying about the Glazers, like, nothing's changed. It's like, yeah. That's why you're back.
But also, right, I read them and thought, yes, good. That you can, you know, it can be that there is not a, it's not a dichotomy that you can say, yes, that's good, but you shouldn't have done it. But also, you know, like, football's a business and I don't like it. And then the next day he's selling his NFT and it's like, right, Shane, Ben, Ben first.
I mean, I'm just glad it's all over, really. I mean, it's been pretty unsavoury, hasn't it? And you kind of feel like, you know, they say you should never go back, and in hindsight it would have been better if he hadn't. But I think, you know, last season, I agree with Nick, it was good at times. He was still contributing last year, but everything that's gone on in the last 3 months, I think any of us could have foreseen in the summer, and they really, you know, they could have just dealt with this in the summer and gone the separate ways without all the acrimony that's kind of come since. I think, you know, people talk about, you know, you've got to treat everyone the same, and Ten Hag's obviously gone down that route. I think if it was Pete Ronaldo, I'm sure he would have got away with even the interview, potentially. You know, look what Rooney got away with in 2010, and some of the things maybe Cantona got away with. But, you know, the reality is, as you said there, Barney, is you know, he hasn't been contributing. He's had opportunities this season. He's had time on the pitch, and when he has played, he's just looked massively off the pace. I think that decline has happened very quickly. There was one game recently, it might have been Newcastle, or who did we play just before the break, I can't remember, where I sort of watched him. So I'm in the corner by the tunnel. He actually bust a bit of a gut to chase a ball that was going out of play, kept the ball in, and then just couldn't get back into the game for another 5 minutes. And I just thought, he's gone. This guy's gone. So, you know, I think the interview was a disgrace. There was obviously some unintended benefit around some of the things he said about the Glazers. And, you know, I think that there is some benefit to that someone as high profile has kind of called that out from inside the club. But, you know, let's not be under any illusions. He's not done that for any other reason than for himself. You know, I think you used the word narcissist before, and that's what he is, isn't it? So, you know, clearly he knew what he was doing. I think it's right for both parties at this stage. I'm glad they're not going down the route of suing him, because I think that would have just been an unnecessary distraction. And I think it's best to just cut ties. And I think, you know, in years to come, he will still be looked back on as one of the greatest players. You know, you're never going to take away that 07-08 season and all those goals, and, you know, Porto away, and, you know, the semi-final at Arsenal. But, you know, this is obviously going to be remembered by a lot of us as well. And some of it was just, you know, the thing about the whole interview that I thought was, which showed him up for the kind of man he is, you know, the stuff about Rooney was so, like, unnecessary and nasty.
Yeah, right.
It was just, like, bullying, basically. Like, what's his looks got to do with anything? You know, that was just pathetic, really. So I just thought, you know, you're the one who's a rat, so good riddance.
But me and Nathan have argued that, you know, like, he wouldn't have given a toss what Rooney was saying 5 years ago, or anyone slagging him off. The fact that it's festering.
Well, did you actually see the stuff that Rooney was saying?
Yeah, though? But that he's been quite complimentary the whole way through, and he's only now biting a little bit.
In a way, he was being supportive. He was like saying that I've been through the process of not being able to, like, you know, I'm not at that level anymore, and it's hard to take. He, in a way, he was being supportive, and he's just had it thrown back in his face.
But
as you said yourself, Nathan, before, he can't see that, can he?
No.
He recognised it, I don't think. And everything Rooney said was completely reasonable. And, you know, the thing about Neville, he's just doing it to get more kind of publicity on my back. I mean, no, he's not. He's doing his job. He's a pundit. You know, whether he played with you or not in the past, as a pundit, he has to say it as he sees it. And he can't just, you know, stick his tongue up your arse.
He's so blinded. He's so blinded by all those mirrors. He can't see it. Just imagine two narcissists like that in a room, those poor makeup people having to deal with both of them going, no, you look. Oh, no, you look. No, you look. No, you look. It's like, fucking hell. But, you know, like, it did make me think on a, before I go to Shane, sorry, Shane, but it's like with the Rooney thing, and we knew he'd gone, but it's like I always felt a bit like, oh, just bringing him on for a few minutes at Stockholm. It never sat. But you think not only obviously now, perhaps it did sit right, and you know, but we'd won, and maybe he could have got on earlier. But he never, for all Rooney's sins, and he did a lot wrong for us that in terms of off the pitch, that he never kicked off. You know, we didn't hear about it. There was Mourinho going, you know, from that way before Stoke won the goal. But it's like, this is how I'm going to deal with you. Sorry, Stoke might have been under Van Gaal fucking head. But it's like, this is how I'm going to deal with you. So, you know, like, where was, there was no like, it's, but that's what thousands of footballers don't like their lot, but do, they don't storm off. I mean, when was the last time you've ever, even like, you're just unfathomable. Hello, Shane.
Yeah, well, I think you covered most of it, but I just, yeah, it's a whole, there's a whole web of stuff in there with Ronaldo, isn't there? And I think, like, I've always tried to maintain, like, I support Man United. Obviously, I don't support the players, and I don't expect too much from them as people, if I'm honest, particularly in the modern day. But, the, like, he's the ultimate ego, isn't he? And I think, like, I've, you touched on it, Barney, and all of you have touched on it, really. Like, when you're someone as good as Ronaldo, you can tolerate the kind of, you make a few exceptions, and you can tolerate his ego, and you can tolerate his arrogance and the fact that it's about him. When his personal ego and his personal motives help the team, and, you know, for many years, particularly at Madrid, and let's not forget, he did, like, we had a magical couple of years out of him at the back, you know, back end of time here, particularly as Ben said in 07-08. But at the end of the day, he chose to give his best years, the bulk of his best years, to Madrid. So let's not flatter ourselves that he loves United as much as he says. But at the end of the day, you know, you can only tolerate that ego when you're at the peak. And as soon as it starts to wane, you then become just a normal player, an average player, and you have to fall in line like the rest of the players do, and you can't make those exceptions. And he, as you said, he couldn't live with that. But I think to my mind, I make it very simple that, you know, you've got players that for greater or lesser degrees are sort of like soured their relationship with the fans a bit. He's done the ultimate now. But, you know, like Peter Schmeichel with his fucking cartwheels at City, you know, tainted his sort of relationship with the fans, but it doesn't for me take away at all what a great keeper he was in probably one of our greatest, if not the greatest ever side. And equally, Ronaldo was a remarkable, like, phenomenon in one of our greatest ever teams in 07-08. So, but nothing will ever take that away. Unfortunately for him and for us, what he's lost is the likes of Brian Robson and some of the other players that have kept an affinity with the fans, and we treat them as legends because of the way they're attached to the club and associated to the club, and we warm to them. He's lost that side of it. So he's without doubt probably the greatest player that I've ever seen in the United shirt, but he's also probably the biggest twat I've seen in the United shirt. And I think both of those things can be true at the same time, and I can live with that.
This is
I do think, like you touched on Rooney, I think it was a good point by Ben that was, like, it was, that's a bit the spitefulness of it. And I do think, like, it's about Ronaldo we're talking, but Rooney, I think, we all appreciated how great he was for us, particularly in that sort of, like, the early years in his time at United. But I think Rooney's one of those that I've appreciated, and I think lots of people have appreciated even more after he left us, because I think, like, he, to my mind, he's a true United gate. And I know before Chelsea away, Barney, like, my lad, Connor, you were asking a couple of us about, like, play, and you asked Connor about the best player he'd seen in the United shirt, and he had to say, like, for his ear, he said it was probably Rooney. And I was quite chuffed he said it. It's not a conversation we'd had. And I thought, yeah, that
I'm glad that he's picking out Rooney, because he probably was the best player in the time Connor started going the year after Ronaldo left. So, and I think, yeah, I think Rooney, you know, to me, Rooney's actually, you know, he's leaning towards one of those players that I've got a bit of affinity with. He didn't, all right, he had a few errors off the pitch, but by and large, he kind of gave his all. He gave us some great, great performances. You know, his goal scores, scoring record, you know, he goes down as a great for United, and I think, you know, he'd get a great reception.
Especially,
Ronaldo, we're not, you know. Yeah.
Especially as he's starting to look like me now. Fucking hell. This is a sober chat. We could have the next drink one. We'll just do the biggest twat at United. But I will say, Schmeichel's clearly the greatest goalkeeper, although sometimes I do waver a little bit. But it doesn't... The point about affinity is interesting, because I see him and I think... goes back, you just that City thing. It's strange how we deal with legends, heroes, and all that. Right, we could go on for ages. We've done an hour.
Just say one more thing. Yeah. Just say one more thing about, like, you, and you touched it as well, because it's repeated. But it is inadvertent, and I think we've talked about Ten Hag. Like, as Nathan said at the very start, comes out with this for an awful lot of credit, and he might not have wanted it by design. It's probably been a distraction and a hassle. But, you know, a bit like, I know the context is totally different, but Ferguson coming in and had to bounce out, you know, Whiteside and McGrath and boozing and this kind of stuff, it sets down a marker, and there's no bigger marker than saying, Ronaldo, you're dropped, you know, and that's what he done, and all the players that are now at the club know that, and they know that it's pure, you know, you toe the line and you're picked on performances, and I think it's a massive shift in the club, where we've had, you know, managers that have arguably lost their job over, you know, going to battle with Paul Pogba, for example. So I think it's a big marker, and I think inadvertently, it's probably strengthened a new manager, a promising manager's position. So I think, like, let's take the positive out of that.
It'll be interesting.
And I
if
think to echo that on a positive, like, I think it really takes away a massive distraction for Ten Hag, and it gives him the opportunity now to build his own team without any distractions in the second half of the season. I think I'm sure he will be privately absolutely over the moon about it.
Yeah, and the United's so wonderful. Like the last one, I didn't quite carry that. It was like the TARDIS, so I'd sold, not had a drink, and I entered this pub after the game, and I'd waited around the United end because I was just that giddy with the goal. That I entered this TARDIS of drunken United lot. That is just beautiful, and it all comes together. A late winner, everyone's giddy. It'd be interesting if Fergie, he doesn't have to do what many of us would have wanted to do, is slate the Glazers, but it'd be interesting to see if he comes out, if this is a sell, and offers an opinion. That's just the thing. Right, so final words, lads. I'm going to go to bed with hope. I haven't got much hope for Knicks. Play Your Caps Right is back. We'll confirm the charity night, and if I can work out how to fucking stream, at worst it'll be a podcast. Well, probably at best it'll be a podcast. At your worst, you'll see us all in person, but then we can raise money direct for Manchester Mind. Please support the mag. Please support Manchester Mind. Thanks for joining us. Right, final words. Nick, then Shane, then Nathan, then Ben.
Play Your Caps Right is coming back in a different format, and it's going to be fun. It's going to be positive.
This one's going to be good, is it?
He sounds like Jim Bowen then. Fun, special.
This may be Play Your Caps Right we've ever seen. I'm just putting it out there.
It's such a low bar. That's not like...
No. This is going to be the perfect
match. Bev loves your Play Your Caps Right, so I'll give him. And also, I'm sending lots of love to ES. Right. Have you got anything to say? Final words on what comes next?
Well, it's going to be a long, drawn-out process with the Glazers, so I don't think we need to sort of get mega excited too soon, as people have said. I'm excited if we do replace Ronaldo. I know that's not been mentioned yet. I don't think we will.
Gakpo.
Yeah.
That song will take off. No.
It's a bad in another left winger, isn't it, though? I mean, we've still got to deal with bloody Sancho, Rashford, Martial, et al. We can all play on that side. So it'd be intriguing to see if we do sign anyone in January.
I don't think we will, but if we do, you know, it's keeping Martial and Rashford fit, and I don't really see that. So I'm a little hesitant for where the goals are going to come from. But
well, we've known that all, we've seen that all season so far. What about a swap Bellingham for Sancho? How about that?
I don't think Dortmund are that daft, are they? They've done pretty well by fleecing us for the last couple of players.
Right, Shane.
Yeah, I thought we were supposed to be ending on a positive. That started to drag me back down.
We always do this. End on a positive and then we drag you back in.
I'm a very simple man, obviously, without taking, walking into fucking loads of abuse there. I'm just happy. I'm a little bit, dare I say, even giddy that the World Cup that angered me, like, for all the stuff we talked about earlier, but also the fact that it's taken away United. We've got a game before Christmas, so I'm actually quite excited for that. A League Cup game before Christmas, that's a bonus for me, so I'm quite chuffed.
Yeah, I'm buzzing for that.
We'll be back at Old Trafford before Christmas. That's,
well, there was big demand for the members, not United also shafting members' tickets over, but because it's the first game in 6 weeks, kids are offering that. Huge demand for it. Loads of people asking because they've sold out. Anyone sort of faced that. So that's good. Bring on Burnley. Nathan?
Yeah, I feel relatively zen about it all now. I think we just have to see. I think there's no point in getting giddy. Like, we can hope, but there's nothing we can do, so we'll see. I think I'm quite enjoying the World Cup. I always get sucked into it, don't I, no matter what, I think. But, like I say, looking forward to in a few weeks, and we can be back, so we'll see. I don't know. Like you say, I think one of the positives we've got is that whether they do anything in January, they have, like, Ten Hag and that will literally have got two months, essentially, before the end of the January transfer window to try and sort something out. I hope World Cup performances don't influence it, because you know what happens after every World Cup, you end up signing someone who looks half decent in the World Cup and they end up being terrible.
I think, but go on two pieces of Johnny Murta, you know, the Johnny Murta saying we want to do all our businesses, and if the Glazers are, you know, if this is the end game, they are not going to want to spend any of that potential. You know, I think that'll be, they'll use some fucking clause that exists. But who'd have thought, you know, Ronnie goes in one day and it's not the biggest news story, so.
As much as Piers Morgan would like it to be.
Yeah. Ben?
Well, I'm just laughing at the Burnley at home. If you'd said to me in any other season that everyone would be getting excited about Burnley at home in the League Cup a week before Christmas, I'd have thought I'd have gone mad. Can I just say, we haven't mentioned at all, and I'm sure you did it to death after Fulham. I am very, very excited about Garnacho. So, you know, the king is dead, long live the king. He's made it to my work password, which I probably shouldn't say.
Don't say that. Change it now, Ben. God almighty. I wouldn't say just, not to the listeners who are very, very nice and never do that. It's more our lot.
that normally means
Nick's on it already. No, and it was interesting. I think someone better put it than me. You know, Ronaldo's the past and the future just scored the last one. And that was upsetting as well, which would have been Morgan, not Ronaldo, to time it. You know, that kid does that and then it's announced. So the main thing is, you know, how you can have, you know, the cult of Ronaldo, and it's not digging people who don't go. But, you know, I think if people listen to this, they sort of get on a wavelength with us all, hopefully. But as we were in a pub, and obviously it was late, but there was about 40 of us in there, and the Ronaldo news came through and most people were, yeah, not asked. You know, it was just a collective. Yeah, and it was, if it had been, you know, we could tolerate the slave in 2008. Right, we'll do another, let's do one tomorrow when they've sold. Cheers, lads, for coming on a whatever night it is. Hope
Wednesday
springs eternal. Right, cheers, lads.